Hi, welcome to episode 3, season 2 of the Get In Loser podcast. I'm so excited today to welcome my first in-person on video guest, my good friend and soon to be published author, Jonah Velasquez. Welcome, Jonah.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you for this space, for the opportunity to talk to your audience today.
Yeah, I'm super excited. This is going to be part of our Pride series. I'm going to call it, instead of a fireside chat, we're going to call it a Fire Island chat, even though I've actually never been to Fire Island. Me neither. But, you know, regardless, we're going to just go ahead and call it a Fire Island chat. We are going to reintroduce on camera a season one tradition, which is bringing a favorite cocktail or drink of choice to learn a little bit about a new perspective and to just show us something different, show us a little bit of personality. And regardless of whether or not you like the drink or it's about really understanding somebody's different perspective and viewpoint. So what did you bring for us today, Jonna?
So can I show?
Yes, of please. Course.
Okay. So
you have the drink, right? That's what you're going to show.
Yeah, of course. Oh, okay. I know I'm showing a little over here.
You shouldn't see what's below the camera. Remember those times of Zoom at home? That's what it feels like.
So I brought this. It's Aguardiente Antioqueño. It's a very typical alcoholic drink in Colombia.
Okay. And tell us what you were telling me in the green room earlier, what it means, the translation.
So aguardiente, hot water.
Hot water. Like, yes. My uncle used to like.
You know, you always get hot water. And everyone's uncle. Yeah.
And what is it, like, what's the base of it?
It's made of anise.
Anise.
Yeah, and it has this little...
Not your niece, but anise.
Anise, yes, you know it. Yes, yes. Anise, not my niece. I don't have a niece.
Oh, you can share mine.
Okay. but yeah, so the base is anise, and it tastes a little licorice.
Okay.
And, you know, you just sip it like water, but you got to be careful because if you drink too much, you may get a little cray-cray later on.
Sooner or later, you're going to think you have anise.
Yes. Or two nieces.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to take from our international shot glasses here. We support all countries, all denominations, and all queens of every rainbow.
Cheers. Cheers. Salud.
Very licorice-y.
I told you.
Interesting. Oh, so... I mentioned a little bit that you are going to be a published author soon.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the project that you're working on and what was your inspiration, and to tell us a little bit about your journey and your process?
Of course. Thank you. So during the pandemic, I just felt like I really needed to get in touch with my creative self.
That little bit of downtime kind of opened up that space for you.
Yes. But, you know, I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. I was just waiting for something to come and touch me.
Yeah.
So, well, not someone, something.
Right.
And last year, one of my really good friends from college, mm-hmm. started to post about her process as a poet. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I kind of like this. I used to write poetry in college, and mm-hmm. I used to go to poetry nights and whatnot. So, you know, I got really interested by her process. And then I reached out and I was like, hey, could you tell me a little bit about what you're doing?
Right.
And she's like, oh, you know, I'm part of this collective. I have a class every Wednesday. We share our poetry. We get feedback. And I was like, could you hook me up? Because this is like something that really sparks an interest in me.
Totally.
So she's like, yeah, let me hook you up. And she hooked me up with this really amazing publishing company, Alegría Publishing. They are a independent publishing company owned by a Colombian woman, Colombian-American, Davina Ferreira. And, you know, I reached out and she's like, yeah, come check out one of our workshops. If you're interested, we can talk about this a little further. I attended one of the workshops through Zoom, and I was like in love. And then she's like, well, this is not just a poetry class, this is a publishing class.
Yeah.
So, you know, by being in class, sharing your work, at the end, you're going to be published. So I was like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And what is the name of the project that you're working on? And tell us a little bit about, you know, what it is.
So right now it's Untitled.
Okay.
Yes. It's a collection of short stories.
Okay.
And they follow this character that happens to be into blood.
Okay.
Interesting. Yes, the stories are kind of dark, and they touch on different subjects as well, like immigration, drugs, family disruption,
okay,
mental health. So yeah, it's a creative process. It is a little dark, but you know, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when you get to really explore things, right?
Exactly.
You kind of get to go into that fantasy world, but pulling from a grounded reality, like you're talking about immigration,
exactly,
and all of these different subjects, which are very real, right? They're very tangible. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings us in because of the reality. But what makes you stay is, you know, is the fantasy. So that's super exciting. When do you think you're going to finish this project?
So I'm hoping to finish my manuscript by August, September.
Okay, amazing.
And the book should be ready by the end of the year, hopefully by Halloween. That would be perfect timing.
That's
for me.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be perfect to launch it in Halloween.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a Colombian publisher. You brought a Colombian drink tonight. So obviously you're from Colombia.
I am, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And just so everybody knows, it's Colombia, not Colombia.
No, it's right? The other way around. Oh. It is Colombia, not Colombia.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. That anise, you know. Salud. And you came to the U.S. when you were like an early teen, right?
Yes, I came to this country when I was 15 years old. I came here to learn English.
Okay.
And then I decided that I wanted to continue to be here, to go to college and just make my life here.
Yeah. And what inspired you? What made you want to stay? What was it that attracted you? Because you came to LA, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So growing up in Colombia, I had to face a lot of like bullying because of my mannerisms. It was mm-hmm. clear that I was gay from an early age.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of over that. And then when I came here to the US, honestly, in my 2 years of high school, I was never called a derogatory name or anything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was just like a change for me night and day. So I was like, you know what? This is the place that I want to be. I don't want to go back to being humiliated or made fun of just because of who I am.
Yeah. And did you... So you didn't experience any like negative things from being LGBT. Did you experience anything negative from being, you know, Colombian or any kind of, you know, just adjusting, like not speaking English fluently and going through that process and learning it?
Definitely. There was a switch in my identity from being this like little boy who wasn't even sure if he was straight or not. I came here to become an immigrant, mm-hmm. you know, someone who was learning English, someone who had no idea of the culture. So that was a little rough. And I feel like I was probably like maybe pushed away a little bit because of that, because of the language barrier. I really couldn't communicate. I still have issues communicating, but
no, you don't.
But back then it was just like, okay. Hi, how are you? Thank you. Bye. That's all I knew. Yeah. So
amazing.
Yeah.
And when did you feel like you fully adjusted, like to being, being in LA? And
it's been a process.
Yeah.
I think it took me like a good. I'm still adjusting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still adjusting. It's been a process. I feel a lot more comfortable with being Colombian American now than I was before.
That's such an interesting point because I feel like America is really the only country where you identify as two, like an ethnicity mm-hmm. and a nationality.
Yeah.
Can you speak about like what that is like in Colombia for someone that is maybe American that moved to Colombia versus like someone that came from Nicaragua and moved to Colombia, or someone that moved from France? Like, do they identify in the same way as you would say, like, Colombian American or Mexican American, whatever, something like that?
Well, from my observation and personal experience, I think Latin America is very nationalist. You mm-hmm. carry your country with pride.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere you go, you're like, okay, this is where I'm from. This is the name of my country.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot speak for other person's experience when they go to like Latin America from America or whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if I go to another country, I know that I'm going to say I'm Colombian.
Yes. But if you met somebody in Colombia that had moved from Nicaragua or had moved uh-huh. from El Salvador, would they say, I'm Nicaraguan?
Yeah.
Even if they've lived there for 10 years?
Yeah. Because you carry that with pride. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you were to ask me, even though I've been living here for most of my life now, if you were to ask me, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Colombia.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I find Colombia to be really, really interesting because it seems to speak out of both sides of its mouth. And what I mean by that is Colombia is one of the most progressive on paper for LGBT rights, including having the first lesbian mayor, Bogota, in October of 2019, she was mm-hmm. elected. Yet it is the second highest LGBT hate crimes in Latin America. And it's in the past 5 years, it's become the number one in LGBT crimes. Death crimes, murders, but I find that so fascinating, the contrast. Like you can have so many progressive on paper LGBT policies and laws and you know support in the government, but you don't see that in the reality. Do you find that that is like indicative of Colombia overall?
Yeah, Colombia's a very conservative country still, mm-hmm. and you know it's just a mindset.
Yeah.
It's not just going to change because a law has been passed, mm-hmm. you know, it has to be a change that comes from within, from your heart, from your mind.
Yeah.
You know, little by little, I think things are changing. I think people are more open about this kind of subjects.
Yeah.
Slightly more accepting than mm-hmm. they were probably 20 years ago when I was living there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still a lot to work on in terms of like, you know, being more open and accepting of different people, different ideas.
Yeah. I mean, to just kind of underscore that, 69% of the country is Catholic, identifies as Catholic. But what I found also like interesting is that, you know, Grindr is banned in a lot of countries internationally, mm-hmm. especially generally countries that are very religious.
Yes.
But Grindr is not banned in Colombia. I found that to be super fascinating.
Thankfully,
maybe you could say a little bit more about that. So I just found that to be like the contrast. But also I think you kind of underscored it too, is that it's a change in culture. You have two different cultures kind of blending, maybe a younger generation.
Generations.
That are you know, changing the laws and things like that. But culture takes a long time to really take root, right?
To settle, yeah.
Yeah. So that's truly amazing. So you've traveled all across the United States.
I have, yes.
Is there any state that you have not been to?
Yes, there's actually two states that I haven't been to. I haven't been to Alaska and I haven't been to South Dakota.
Oh, but you went to the North Dakota.
I have been to North Dakota many times, yes.
Interesting. So kind of following the same like two-pronged story that like Colombia has, traveling around for the last 10 years across the country, what has it felt like to you from your interactions with people, the way you've been treated, maybe people you've met along the way? Have you felt that the country is becoming more progressive or less progressive? Because the policies go up and down, you know, through administrations, and especially over the last few years under the Trump administration, the Trump era, we've had a lot of attacks against LGBT people, especially trans, and most of the state laws across the country. Have you felt that change in your personal experience of traveling across the country?
From my personal experience, first of all, I think the U.S. is a very interesting country when it comes to like people and landscapes.
Okay. Say more about that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's people from everywhere in this country. Okay. Like, from all backgrounds. Ethnic, socioeconomic, cultural, anything you think of you can find in the U.S. There is something for you. That being said, you know, there are some states that are still stuck in the past.
Mm.
And they're not open for the change that is unavoidable.
Right.
You know, we're going through a transitional period in this country. Laws are changing. More people are coming from other countries. The racial landscape is changing too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just feel like there are some parts of the country that are still holding on to that belief of we're better than you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're forgetting that, you know, there's a lot of change going on right now. And eventually, you know, yeah, you might stick to that belief, but things are dynamic and they're not going to be the same. So
yeah.
I think they're just afraid of change.
Yeah.
Afraid of losing that perception of control, of power. But
right.
Has
it made you not want to repeat any visits, any particular area or state or city? We support all tourism.
Yeah, like, no. Travel, the U.S. is great. not really. I mean, and I've been to like very small towns too.
Yeah.
But you know, as long as you're, you know, not. In my case, I'm pretty neutral. I'm very calm.
Right.
Very patient. So yeah. I don't come across with this attitude of like.
Right.
You know,
you're not like me.
So, you know, people usually find me kind of friendly, so I'm not a threat.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. No, I would still go to all of the places that I've been to. I mean, there has been some boring places.
Right.
But I blame that on Grindr.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
Grindr, you need to get it together.
Yeah, I get it
to
together.
To support
Grindr.
All localities.
Yes.
So going back to a happier time, or
yes.
maybe to a time of reflection for
yes.
you. Yes. Get that aguardiente. Tell us about when you came out. Tell us what that was like for you. When did you know? When did you confirm it for yourself? And how do you feel about the way that our community has grown? And like, what's your reflection of our community? Like, as you've kind of, you know, become more comfortable being gay over the years, and just talk about that.
Well, when I first came out, it was very liberating.
Okay.
I fully came out when I was 21 after being in a relationship with a woman for 3 years.
Wow.
So after
and
that...
And I feel like that happens with a lot of gay men.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So once that was over, I fully came out to everyone. I was like, this is me. And, you know, take it or leave it. Thankfully, I was fully supported by my family.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of like had a feeling that,
you know, right.
that was my orientation. So yeah, very supported. Once I came out, obviously I started to get more involved with the local, community.
Right.
And, it was nice just to see other people that had the same feelings as I did growing up. There's still a lot of trauma in the community, obviously. So I think that's something that needs to be worked out, maybe individually or as a community as a whole.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, my experience has been good. I'm 37 right now, and I feel blessed for being a gay man. I have so many freedoms, so many liberties that maybe a straight counterpart doesn't have. I can do whatever I want, I want.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
and I feel like, you know, other than some of the attacks that are coming against our community right now, we really have seen a huge change in culture and acceptance, you know, from the period of, you know, Stonewall to our generation. And the younger generation feels completely comfortable in themselves, you know, in a way that I sometimes still struggle to feel comfortable with myself. So I think it's really beautiful to kind of see the acceptance that we've all kind of played a part in, right?
Yes.
We all have our part in history and how we shape culture. And I just find that to be really beautiful. And I'm so happy that you feel, you know, confident in yourself and you see that beautiful progression. There's a fun fact about Pride Month.
All right.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but obviously Pride Month was inspired by Stonewall and kind of the uprisings. But what also is really fascinating that I did not know was that President Clinton was the first U.S. president to proclaim June to be Pride Month.
Oh, wow.
So I found that to be exciting. Obviously, he did it in June because he knows that the gays like to show off and wear short shorts.
We like the summer.
Yeah, we love summer. Yeah,
who doesn't?
I mean, Fire Island Chats, right? But also, it's been expanded with every Democratic president. So Obama extended it to lesbians, gays and lesbians, and Biden extended it to lesbians, gay and transgender. So we do see a little bit of progression. You know, we're getting attacked, you know, in states, state legislatures. But I thought that was really interesting. And also the first Pride parade was inspired by the Christopher Street Liberation, which happened after Stonewall.
Oh, wow.
So that was just kind of a fun moment. What makes you proud? Like, what does Pride Month mean to you? You know, like this whole series of Fire Island chats, as we're going to call them, is really about individual members of the LGBT community. Just speaking about like what it means to be a member of the community.
Yes.
What makes you prideful? What does pride mean to you?
Pride. Pride just means carrying myself with confidence, feeling free, mm-hmm. and joyful about being who I am. So this month means to me freedom. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to be who I am whenever I want.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I feel just so happy for that. You know, it's like, yes, 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 I can do whatever I want. I can be whomever I want. And, you know, yeah.
What would you say, this is the most cliche question ever, but what would you say to the 15-year-old Jonah? The one that wasn't sure what his sexuality was.
Yes.
The one, what thoughts were rattling in your head at that time? What were your fears? What were your concerns? And what would you say if you were your uncle?
If I was my uncle.
Right? Like if you were that supportive uncle and you had that great relationship, or your son, you know, what would you say to you?
I would say, you'll do fine. You'll be okay. Yeah. Yes, yes. Just, you know, chase those goals. Go for that book.
Okay.
Yes. Take those pictures. Travel. Learn languages. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Is there any, like, organizations, books, people that have been, like, your mentors, your guides that have, like, helped you to be more confident and just feel that freedom that you express?
I feel like just getting to know other gay men during my life, you know, especially older gay men that have struggled with their feelings and oppression in a different way.
Yeah.
Like that's been like that's where I've been getting my mentorship from. Like older gay coworkers or, you know, older gay men that I've met along the road.
Yeah.
And that share with me a little bit of their story and their struggle. I feel like that's helped me. Organizations, to be honest, I've never been part of a LGBT organization per se. But yeah, just the friends that I've made along the way. Like you, for example, you inspire me too. Yeah.
We inspire each other.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, speaking of like older gays and friends that you've met, do you feel like we have a responsibility to like pass the torch to each other of like what that history is like? Because, you know, there wasn't, you know, 50, 60 years ago, there wasn't Grindr. There wasn't a lot of open communication about what it felt like to be gay, to express your sexuality, to have relationships. And those stories that they share to you, those are real. Those are tangible. Yes. Those are growth moments. Those are moments to say, oh my God, I've had that same feeling. I've expressed the same thing. Do you feel that we have like an obligation to like pass that torch down to each generation, or do you not feel that way?
No, I do feel that way. Yeah, I do feel a responsibility just with a younger person, to any younger person, to pass on my life experiences, the little knowledge that I've gathered throughout the years, you know, it'll be okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah, life is life. Just live it. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, this has
been... Have a drink.
Yeah, have a drink. This has been so much fun. I didn't really love the Star Anise or this Aguardiente because I don't like... What is it called?
Aguardiente.
Yeah, that. Because I'm not a big licorice person, but I loved hearing the story about it. I loved hearing a little bit about your culture. And I'm so excited and looking forward to your book with an... you know, go ahead and put your suggestions for the title in the comments.
Yes.
Jonah will take them up. I'll review
them
with him.
Yes.
And happy Pride Month.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank
I
you
really
for coming.
It.
And we'll see you guys soon. Hey, losers. Happy Pride Month. For the month of June, we're going to do things a little bit differently for our very, very and our fetches. So not happening. Kicking off our Fire Island chats, if you're watching the video version, you'll see me with my little cabana hat on and, of course, my Golden Girls tea, which is one of the ways that I celebrate Pride is by the diversity and love of my girls. But for the month of June, I thought we would do something a little bit differently. So we're going to start off for this first week by really talking about some great organizations that you can volunteer with, that you can support on social media, that you can donate to possibly. And I really wanted to start off this way because Pride was really born out of activism. Pride was born out of a way for us to find equality into our world and our workplace, in our families. And so I thought this would be a really great way to celebrate Pride. So one of the first organizations that I would like to talk about with you guys is the Human Rights Campaign. So most of us know HRC, right? But for if you don't know, it's America's largest civil rights organization working to achieve lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality. HRC seeks to improve the lives of LGBT Americans by advocating for equal rights and benefits in the workplace, ensuring families are treated equally under the law, and also increasing public support among all Americans through advocacy, education, and outreach programs. So HRC is an incredible organization. I will make sure that we post the links to this and ways that you can partner and support. Also, one that is really dear and near to my heart is the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, which strives to assure that each member of the school community is valued, respected, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. My first boyfriend was the president of our Gay Straight Alliance at my school. It really helped me to feel more confident in my own sexuality. And right now, with so many attacks on children and transgender students specifically, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network is something really important to highlight. Also, the ACLU LGBT and AIDS Project, which works to create a society in which LGBT people enjoy the constitutional rights of equality, privacy, and personal autonomy, and freedom of expression and association. So the ACLU is constantly fighting for our rights, their human states, and so this is really important to donate and to create more awareness and advocacy for. All right, we'll see you next week for our second edition of our Fire Island Chats, and happy Pride Month.